It's Classical Spotlight and Jean Godoy with a wonderful group here in town. Tell me the name again, because I always get the pronunciation
We
wrong.
have to if practice it. Lux Musicae.
Lux Musicae.
You
There we
can
go.
say Lux Musicae. Several ways you can say it, but I think the proper way is Lux Musicae.
And you're coming up, what, on 1 year? 1 year anniversary? 2 year anniversary now?
2 year.
2 year. I wasn't,
211.
I couldn't.
Yeah. No, I couldn't remember either.
I was like, well, now, wait a minute. But I'm so excited. Speaking of anniversaries, it's the 100th anniversary of Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. And I know this is going to be a wonderful presentation with live musicians and the reduced orchestration. But tell us a little bit about how the 100th anniversary of the Rite of Spring has affected you and how much you're looking forward to it.
Well, for so many years, I've been teaching music appreciation classes and talking about the Rite of Spring as a kind of like a pinnacle work in the 20th century. And as we came closer and closer, and last year, our group premiered in Luminaria, and we did Lastrada Soldat with Jane, and Jane choreographed it, Jane King, at Northwest Vista. And so as we got closer, and we in May, actually, let me tell you a little origin of this. We sat down, Jane and I sat down and said, well, what should we do next year? I thought, well, we're coming up on that big year at March 29, 1913. It would be the 100-year anniversary of Rite of Spring. And so, things started to fall in place, and a little bird whispered in my ear and said, there is a reduced orchestration because there's no way we can fit any sizable orchestra in anywhere in Palmetto. It neither has a stage, neither has a pit, nor a big stage. So I came across this orchestration by Jonathan McPhee, who's actually a conductor in the Boston Ballet. And Buzine Hawks represents that. It's an authorized, reduced orchestration version. So got in touch with them and set up the choreography and performance rights and moved on from there. And so that was probably back last year, sometime in October, November, when I signed the contract for that. So, always loved the piece. I think it's a wonderful piece for what it represents in music history. And I think I can safely say no other piece has created a riot in its premiere. I mean, maybe people got upset, at John Cage's 433, and got huffy but this was a physical riot. And
Right.
so yeah, you can investigate all the details in that, but I think it's a it's for people to understand that, at that time, in that time period, what it represented. We're very diversified people and very civil, but I think they must have. I mean, just imagine the reaction they must have had, to the music, to the costumes, to the dance, and everything. So that's pretty unique in itself.
Well, it's coming up Saturday, May 4th at 8 o'clock there at the Palmetto Center, as you mentioned, at Northwest Vista College. Has it been fun with those discussions of having the choreography and the orchestra? And is this going to be something that you guys will obviously have to put together, with the dancers and musicians? Obviously, they have certain tempos and different things that go on. What sort of discussions have happened since you've decided to do this and are getting ready to rehearse and perform this?
Well, very little. We had rehearsals March, late March, with the orchestra, so we basically put the piece together. Neither choreographer was there. What we did was we recorded a run through, and so previously they've been using canned music, and so now they have I doctored the tape up and cut and splice, and so they have a run through, and so they've been using our tempos, and that's good for them because they can actually hear the orchestration. It is a little different because it is reduced, but and actually I saw some scenes last week. They did some scenes in the black box, and they were using canned music. They weren't using our version yet, but you're going to be very surprised. I mean, these are student dancers, but I saw something in their faces and their movements. There was a jerkiness. There was a vibrancy, and I think the audience is going to be very pleased with the orchestra, and I think with the dancers as well at their level. You know, I also might mention that, you know, the orchestra is pretty diverse. We're using actually some students, colleges, you know, they're playing professionally, but they're working with their teachers. I think that we have that advantage. They're being trained week after week in their studio with their teachers, and they're going to be playing side by, you know, professionals. So that's a pretty unique, you know, opportunity for them and for us too. Yeah,
I think that's a wonderful sort of outreach, you know, with your group to, you know, have that sort of, you know, these student performers joining in with professionals. And I imagine it's got to be fun because this was such a groundbreaking score. Not only the choreography was pretty crazy, but, you know, this was such a young Stravinsky coming through. And the rhythms are, you know, the tonality, this, you know, all these sort of things come together. It's got to be fun for you as a percussionist and also leading this, you know, now conducting this group. It has to be sort of fun to delve into this.
Yes. I've played it. I've played it with Joanne Folletta, not with the Buffalo Philharmonic, but I played her years ago when I was we were students in New York. And I think that was the only time I played it. Of course, you know, love the piece and, you know it very well. But it does, of course, it has this rhythmic, you know, aspects to it. And I think as a percussionist, you know, I can, you know, appreciate that. Probably even more so than a non-percussionist. And you know, but, you know, I've been very, very direct about, you know, patterns. And there are actually some patterns that do occur in the last, you know, few bars of it, the last measures, that are hard to find. But, you know, when you look into the score, they are there. And it's made it very easy for the musicians to, a little easier, I should say, to see those patterns and realize that, you know, Stravinsky uses the basic 2 and 3. And that's all over the place in, you know, the combinations, but all over the place in the score. And so... when you recognize that, you know, sometimes it's a little faster and he's got this groove happening. I like to tell the orchestra and it's a 2 and a 3 and it just, you know, kind of plays itself. And, you know, when you learn the patterns in there, then it sort of plays itself. You still have to watch like a hawk, but, and I have to watch them, you know, yeah, it's fun. It's really, you know, I like to compare it to also to kind of like these scenes you see in Star Wars where they're going through those deep canyons and they've got fighters on their tail and, you know, and they've got an engine blown out and, you know, it's just to navigate the canyons and to navigate the, you know, the fighters behind you. It's a real challenge. I think it's the ultimate of, you know, concentration and, you know, buckling your seatbelts and just, you know, using your, you know, your brain, everything that you've put together in the rehearsal to that point, you know, and make it work.
John Godoy is our guest, and a wonderful performance coming up of Stravinsky's Rite of Spring at Northwest Vista College, May 4th at 8 o'clock there at the Palmetto Center. I was curious, this is originally this great Russian sort of scenes, this very primitive sort of things, but I think we can all relate to, you know, the spring thaw and all these sort of traditions. It's been a kind of wacky spring across the United States. We've had snow, all my friends east and even north of here, you know, and we've had some cool days for South Texas here in April, you know, a couple of things, and hopefully we'll get some rain out of all this sort of thing. But we all sort of look forward to the wild flowers that show up. And I think whether you know this score or not, you could probably, if you do, hum along and know all these sort of things. But if it's not one of those things, it's probably something that you can sort of relate to of having this sort of spring thaw. And it is sort of this primitive traditions and things that we've experienced, I think, in our own lives.
Yeah, it's... even going further back to think of not only, I mean, if you want to look at, you know, the pagan cultures that in Russia has an extraordinary legacy of this paganism, British as well. But I mean, even in the sense like, you know, the Mayans had their own, you know, ritualistic. I mean, but to think that, you know, this is spring flowers and young men and women getting together and, you know, mapping out their partners and mapping out their space. But here, a woman is chosen to dance herself to death. I mean, how more brutal can you get than that? And it's really, I think that was the real, you know, crux of the, you know, whole thing that just made this such a riotous, scene. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's, of course, that's the other side of, you know, the ultimate sacrifice. But yeah, the lovely things that you think in spring are all incorporated in this. And Stravinsky used wonderfully, you know, voices and his collaboration with Rurik, the scenes and also the melodies that he heard. There's a really nice production. I got to hear my friend Peter Bay did Beyond the Score with the Austin Symphony, and that was just a wonderful production. It's wonderful for the audience to be able to grasp, even for, as a musician, a learned musician, to be able to grasp the entire concept, how the, you know, everything came together between those two historically, Stravinsky and Rurik, and you know how it, you know, finally, you know, came to fruition with you know, with the choreography and the dancing. But yeah, those are just, yeah, just great things that we kind of don't think about as far as, you know, like the nature of nature. I mean, and yeah. This is just, you know, again, just the taking it to the ultimate extreme of, you know, what some cultures, you know, actually, you know, embodied, how they practice. So
I think it's a big 11-4 bar that, you know, just comes where there's just all these beats, you know, towards the end that I know is quite dramatic, and then goes into this, you know, very quick da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, after all these big, you know, percussive pounds. And there are all sorts of, you know, there's that very famous opening where the, you know, the bassoon, you know, you're not sure what it is because it's in such a high register. Mm-hmm. There's all these things that happen with these two big polychords with the strings that come in, you know, chunking. Are there particular favorite parts that as you go through as a conductor for you yourself that you're just like, oh man, I love this, is, you know, there's nothing better than doing this. Is there a particular scene or parts that you particularly enjoy?
Yes, melodies. I wanted to lean over to the cellist Aurelio Rocha and say, you know, I've waited all my life for this cello solo that happens in one of the solo parts. Actually, the most, for me, you know, it's exciting doing the multimeter, but for me, I really, melody, you know, is more important to me, and I like the languishing, you know, the slope. I mean, it's a bombastic score, but there's some really beautiful moments. I mean, if you take away that, there are actually some beautiful melodies, and that one cello solo in the second part is endearing to me. So yeah, to answer your question, it's nice to kind of conduct slow and just let the orchestra do their thing, but there are some very, very beautiful patterns and you know, melodies and harmonies that occur within the brutality of the score.
All right. Well, I have to put in a request for Linos maybe next year. You know, you guys have done L'Histoire and now Rite of Spring. Maybe you guys can, you know, do a big wedding.
You read my mind. I won't say further, but you read my mind.
All right.
I love Linos.
Oh, yeah. Well, John Godoy, it's good to have you here in the studio. Where can folks find out more information?
NVC.edu, Northwest Vista. You can go to their website. They have the you know, directions, a map of the campus. My website, www.luxmusicae.org, and I'll have some posters around in our sponsor stores, Terra Nova, Alamo Music, and I also like to thank some friends, Doctors Rudy and Blanca Molina, for being our sponsors for this concert. And so hopefully look forward to seeing you there. It's it'll be a wonderful production, and you know, it's once in a lifetime thing, so you won't see it next 100 years. It's only this 100 years. So.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Oh, John, it's good to see you, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.